Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 71 of the Alabama Liberal Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Conspiracy Incorporated. And basically, that's a little bit about how there's conspiracy theories everywhere. And some people may have found a way to monetize those in a way that they never have before. Conspiracies have been around for a long time in the United States. Well, they've been around a long time, probably, period. And also a little bit about who's monetizing this, who's benefiting from it, why are they weaponized in a way that they really never have been before. Some old stuff like, oh, America never landed on the moon, Kennedy assassination or whatever. I mean, it felt like good, clean fun with a bunch of weirdos on ham radios, the precursor to Reddit and message boards, and people just goofing around trying to have a good time. And now they just feel very corporate, almost like there's almost corporate sponsorship for these conspiracy theories. There's almost money to be made off of this stuff. And how are other people, specifically Russia and China and some out-of-state actors, how do they benefit from spreading this all over the globe? Why have they found such a willing participant in President Trump? And I'll also list a handful of my favorite conspiracy theories. But for right now, I just want to take just a minute to tell everybody that I really hope you stay safe. Coronavirus cases, they're spiking up again. They're really raising. And quite frankly, I can't afford to lose any listeners. So please wash your hands, socially distance. But well, that's okay because I washed my hands last week. So, you know, it should be fine. Dr. Fauci's on TV all the time. I don't know. Like, does he have a real job anymore? Is he just a CNN pundit? Does he just get interviewed by the local media? I know that they say, well, you know, he gets it from both sides. He gets it from the Trumpers and Trump himself and all these people that think he's keeping the reopenings from happening. To me, he seems almost apathetic. They interview him and he's like, well, we're not gonna, you know how it is, it's whatever, I can't control it anymore. I mean, he's like a Greek chorus commenting on the action as it unfolds, as though he's not a senior public health official like you'd think he might. They say, well, you know, he can, or Trump will fire him. And I think Trump would have already fired him if he could have. I think there's no love lost between him and Trump. They seem exhausted, they seem fed up. You almost wonder what's stopping them from just going out there and telling the exact truth and trying to motivate people as much as they can. But to me, he seems more like Dr. Kevorkian than Dr. Fauci. I don't know, he doesn't seem as concerned as you'd think he would. He seems almost too level-headed. He seems to enjoy being on television at this point. And so I'm kind of getting tired of seeing him. Really getting tired of seeing everybody. I'm sick of seeing Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, come on TV every day and enter these faux cheery, look straight in the camera and pretend that he's a human being. And unusual to see politicians all kind of give you the same briefings on the same thing, and then it just unfolds over and over. And you're wondering, like, who's going to crack first? Who's going to be the first big liberal to just go on TV and say, fuck it, go out there, rub your ass on a stripper's titties, go put dollar bills up your nose. I mean, I know Bill Maher kind of said something like that, where he's just almost like, we're here, we have no fear, get used to it. And I mean, you almost wonder, like, as bad as the virus is becoming, so many people are asymptomatic of COVID-19. But I think because the virus is so scary, it's so unknown, one of the conspiracy theories we'll be talking about is the virus manufactured? Things like that, they've obviously been floated around a lot. Kind of talk a little bit more about individual conspiracy theories, because I got a lot of them. I'll give you the ones that I genuinely think may be true. I definitely think that JFK was not killed by Lee Harvey Oswald, or at least not by himself. Generally believe Oswald's theory that he was a patsy. You know, you could watch Oliver Stone's JFK, and you could watch all these documentaries. I mean, you could really go down the rabbit hole. You could study the Zapruder film frame by frame. You could do the bullet trajectories, and the fast was the car going, and all these different things. But the biggest thing is that Lee Harvey Oswald himself makes no psychological sense. As an intuitive person, as somebody who can kind of see through people very quickly, it doesn't make psychological sense for someone to kill the President of the United States and then to turn around and be like, I didn't have anything to do with it, I'm a patsy, they're trying to set me up. And then the very next day, he winds up getting killed. So he never goes on trial. He never really gives like a true statement. I mean, he was in custody maybe less than 24 hours before he's killed. Most political assassins and most terrorists and things like that, they want credit for their work. They want the world to know what they did. They want them to know that they did it. I mean, you even see ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they'll take credit for shit they had nothing to do with. The market gets blown up. They're like, yeah, sure, we did it. If Trump got killed tomorrow, there's no doubt they'd take credit for it, whether they had anything to do with it or not, whether they were capable of doing it or not. And so the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald is literally saying, I didn't do it, I'm a patsy, I'm being set up, and then getting killed the very next day, to me, that psychologically makes no sense that he wouldn't want credit for it if he really did it. And then people say, well, he might have been crazy. He might have just been Alpha's rocker. And yeah, but even then you think, well, how could somebody who's that crazy, how would they keep it together to the extent of being able to plead not guilty and not wanting credit for it, and then also be capable of finding the exact right spot with a rifle, killing Kennedy, escaping police capture right off the bat? He wasn't apprehended until hours later. How would they be able to plan all this and get it all down if they're that off their rocker meds crazy that they would kill the president and then forget that they did it or convince themselves that they didn't do it. Also, I don't really believe that if they were that crazy, they also wouldn't take credit for it, because if you ever hang around homeless people or people that are actually nuts on the street, they take credit for all kind of shit. You know, they have their own narrative that they frame. Then it's just too weird that he worked for the army. He might have been a CIA asset. He was in Cuba. He was in Russia. Did he work for the Russians? Did he work for the CIA? He had ties to the mafia. I think some mobsters out of New Orleans and things had their hooks in him. So he's kind of a perfect patsy. And that whatever conspiracy theory you believe for who killed Kennedy, was it radical Cubans that wanted Kennedy dead for Bay of Pigs? Was it radical anti-Castro Cubans that felt Kennedy wasn't doing enough to continue Bay of Pigs? So there you have both sides. Was it hardline anti-communist in the United States government, either in the CIA or whatever type of apparatus they would have had back then that really wanted to get into Vietnam? Or was it the Russians themselves that were just hated him for the way that he handled the Cuban Missile Crisis or different things going on at that time? So you have both sides of these ideological coins that it could have been. And Lee Harvey Oswald is somehow connected to all these different groups. He's got connections to everybody. I don't know about you, but I don't know that there's that many people who were not prominent. Lee Harvey Oswald is just a regular dude, basically, that never made a lot of money in his life, not really that well connected necessarily. And somehow he's able to be connected to the CIA, the army, the Cubans, the mafia, the Russians. He's gone overseas and traveled to some of the only countries that are even being looked at for this job. And then he even says, I'm being set up. I'm a patsy. Right before he's murdered by an FBI agent who supposedly wanted to spare Jacqueline Kennedy the pain of a trial. Yet, and that doesn't make any sense. Jack Ruby is an FBI agent who could both be part of a so-called deep state apparatus wanting to shut Oswald up, or he also mafia. Again, another person who has multiple different people that they're connected to. It just doesn't make sense to me at that level. So that's probably the biggest conspiracy theory that I genuinely believe in. Then you have something like 9/11, where they say like, oh, well, the planes never crashed. It was dynamite. It was explosions. I don't really believe that that's true. I think that would be almost impossible to stage something like that. But you have to wonder, did Bush do everything that he possibly could to prevent that attack? The answer is no. And whether that's because he's of incompetence or whether that's because of something maybe more deliberate on his part, because it just seemed very odd. 9/11 happens and then all the things Republicans have wanted to do for decades and decades. I mean, Homeland Security, increase security, wiretappings without warrants, interrogating people overseas, rendition, invading Iraq, all these different things. And also the fact that right after 9/11, they fly out all these members of the Saudi royal family. They fly them out of the country so that they can't be interrogated. Why would anybody do that at that time? I mean, there's no reason to do that unless you know something, maybe. Even if you don't help plan it, even if you would be aware of the type of people who would be in suspects in it. Then there's been more and more things about apparently some people that officially worked for the Saudi government, some of the diplomats and some rich Saudi people out in Los Angeles, of all places. They gave material aid to some of the hijackers that were training. There's a lawsuit going on talking about that at this moment. You know, what did Saudi Arabia, what did they know? When did they know it? Of course, the Bushes had very close ties to Saudi Arabia. Literally, they used to call one of the top functions in the Saudi royal family, who was also the ambassador to the United States, they used to call him Bandar Bush, because that's how close they were to him. So they knew him very, very well. Bushes are extremely connected to Saudi Arabia. We know that the hijackers are at least strongly suspect that they had at least some help within the Saudi government, either through official diplomats or rich and well-connected Saudis living in Los Angeles. Just speaking for myself living here, I mean, Los Angeles is like a playground for the world's rich. You see these buildings in downtown that are sitting half empty because Saudi royals, they own part of them, or Chinese nationals, or Russian mobsters and oligarchs and things like that. Right outside, there's the biggest homeless population in America. I mean, everywhere you go in certain areas of Los Angeles, people are asking you for money, asking you for dollars. That's only going to get worse with coronavirus and all the retail closures we're going to see. Yet, who's the wealthiest person? Oh, Chinese billionaire worth about $50 billion. He owns 5 properties here, spends about a week apiece in each one of them a year, you know, able to come back and forth and do this thing. I can speak to the idea that this is a playground for the world's rich. There's a ton of rich Iranians here. Go up to the Grove on Saturday night. It looks like little Persia, basically. There's all these Iranians there, Saudi people. There's a lot of them. Every once in a while, you see the odd news story. Some Saudi's racing a yellow Lamborghini as fast as he can down the street to Los Angeles, going 120 miles an hour. LA police pull him over. He's got diplomatic immunity. They give him a slap on the wrist. But if we look at it to the sense of the Bushes are close to Saudi, then some people within the Saudi government provide material aid to some of the hijackers. Then right after 9/11, some of the biggest people in the Saudi royal family, some of the most well-connected, they're flown out of the country so that they cannot be interrogated by the FBI or anybody else. Then you go to the fact of, what does Bush want to do right off the bat? He wants to go to war with Iraq. And Richard Clark, Bill Clinton's anti-terrorism chief and czar, who Bush demoted not long after 9/11, he says, but Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, and that didn't make any difference. And then they go about spreading the narrative of Iraq has WMDs and they're a base of operations for Al-Qaeda. The exact opposite is true. Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein hate each other, and Saddam kept them out of Iraq at that time. Think like, well, the Bushes get everything they wanted. They got all the civil liberties thrown out the window. They got big, huge, multi-trillion dollar expensive wars in the Middle East. Price of oil skyrocketed. Halliburton shares went through the roof. All the private defense contractors got all these no-bid contracts like Halliburton did, Dick Cheney's old firm. And all Bush's old buddies, they're happy because scarcity's driven up. So they're able to basically get more per gallon. People used to say, well, the whole thing was about stealing the oil from Iraq. How come the oil prices went up? It wasn't about stealing it. It was about scarcity. If you can take Iraq, which I believe at that time had the fourth or fifth biggest oil reserves on the planet, if you can take that oil basically out of the marketplace, it creates a scarcity environment where the price per gallon goes up. Oil companies make more money when the price goes up, not when they go to Iraq and they plunder all the oil supplies and say, hey, we're going to start selling oil for 30 cents a gallon in America. They make more money when gas hits $4 or $5 in California, as it has before. And so, you know, they don't like plummeting oil prices, and scarcity is another way to help drive that up. Did Bush and some of his cohorts directly help plan 9/11? Did they help put controlled explosions in the buildings? I don't think so, but at the same time, they didn't do everything they could to prevent it. That's just a fact. I mean, Bush gets a memo, Bin Laden determined to strike inside the United States. Yeah, whatever, sure. I'll go golfing. Whatever. You know, he didn't take it seriously. He just didn't seem very concerned with it. Second that it does happen, he has all these elaborate plans to go invade the wrong country. It just all seemed a little too convenient that they didn't do more, didn't really stop it. So those are probably two of the bigger ones that I have. Then you get to other things like people believe church's chicken sterilizes black men. I don't believe that at all. I think that's ridiculous. Then you have, was the moon landing fake? No, I don't believe that either. Although some people are being like, well, you know, how come it's been, what, almost 50 years since the last time that we went to the moon? I mean, if we had the capability in the late 60s, how come we had several different manned missions to the moon in the late 60s and 70s, and then we just gave up? We just stopped going. Well, you would think that if America was able to go 50 years ago, we'd already have the base that they're talking about now. We would have already established something or built something, or at least have sent a man to the moon, literally, in my lifetime, which they haven't. They haven't done that. And they're saying, oh, we're getting ready to go back to the moon next year. Literally done it 50 years ago when there weren't even portable telephones. You would think that if they had the capability, they could just send somebody today. Like, it just wouldn't be a big deal to just be like, hey, we'll just copy what we did 50 years ago, except with 100 times better technology, monitoring, satellites, equipment, all these different things. And we'll just send somebody in 2 weeks. Like, it wouldn't need to be a 2-year long process to get to be able to go. And you do wonder why space exploration has been so slow. Because, I mean, I've been watching the same science fiction movies as maybe some of you have since 2001 A Space Odyssey came out. Why have we seen astronauts go to Mars for decades and moon colonies and space colonies and international space stations that get a mysterious distress beacon and then they have to go investigate it? And you wonder why they do that shit too. Oh, we're just a mining crew going to mine an asteroid and make money off of it, but there's a distress beacon. We need to go answer that. And it's always in a bad part of the galaxy too. It's like, why a crew for pure profit even cares about a distress beacon where there's no live recordings of human beings screaming for help? There's just a beacon and then they got to go answer it. And then, of course, there's an alien that stalks and terrorizes them on the ship. But we've been watching this stuff for decades. And why has progress been so slow? Why is it a big deal when Elon Musk at SpaceX is able to take American astronauts from American soil with an American company and an American ship to the International Space Station for the first time in many, many years? I mean, why did they make such a, at the time that the country's burning from the riots, they made such a big deal out of that? Neil Armstrong, that was more than 50 years ago. What is the holdup with space exploration? So you can almost understand that somehow it may have been somewhat exaggerated. Somehow it may have been a little suspicious that we've not done more in the, you could have mined asteroids. You could have seen that there's a fuel source on the moon. There's elements that you could mine for different fuel. And of course, other part of that is because of the stranglehold that oil has on this planet. Maybe we haven't done everything we can to find a fuel source or whatever. And that seems as logical as anything else. I don't think the moon landing is fake. I think it would be a little too elaborate. I think it'd be a little too complicated. But people say, well, how come the flag was able to wave? There's no atmosphere on the moon. So why'd they have the flag waving in the breeze like it's a nice summer day at the beach on 4th of July weekend? They said that it's because they put a motor on it. They knew that problem would happen, that it would be stiff and lifeless. They put a motor on it so specifically so it could flutter and it would look great on TV. That's great if somebody actually thought of that. Every single aspect is being thought of and managed like a Hollywood movie, and we don't really see events like done like that anymore. I mean, Trump's able to clear a church of protesters so he can have his picture made outside this church holding the Bible. It seems like there's so much of our government that's thoughtless and that they don't think about things like that. It's impressive if somebody did think of that aspect. Like the flag, it won't be very impressive to people watching at home. We need to put a motor on the back of it. I guess NASA at that time, the best minds in the country, it's possible that they did think of that. Don't necessarily believe in a lot of the other conspiracy theories, but there are some that I do believe in. And now, more modern conspiracy theories. We have the idea of COVID-19 possibly being engineered by the Chinese. They've engineered it in some way to basically devastate countries that they don't get along with. Europe, Japan, especially the United States, have all had the worst outbreaks by a mile. You look at the top five deaths of coronavirus, you have France, Italy, Spain, the United States. Supposedly, we have multiples more coronavirus deaths than China does. I believe Belgium has the same number of coronavirus deaths that China does, despite China having 1,000 times their population on the virus beginning there. And how is that possible? Either one of two things. Either they're severely lying about their death count, which I do think is more likely than not likely, that they're just incinerating bodies left and right, and the actual death total is more than 1 million people, and they've just lied about it to the extent of incinerating bodies, suppressing information, telling people, keep your mouth shut or you'll be an enemy of the state, which we all know that they do that. And so that would be more likely. But then it would be also, too, of it being like, well, how do we know that they didn't engineer this virus? And then even if it's an engineered virus, did it escape from the lab accidentally? Like, did a beaker break and then it just got out? That happened to the Russians in the 70s. There was a similar virus, but extremely toxic, extremely deadly. It broke in a lab while they were doing experiments. It killed everybody in that town. And they had to come incinerate the bodies and things like that. Would it have been engineered by the Chinese and then it accidentally got out? Because that happens. These governments like China and Russia, they fuck up all the time. There's a faulty seal. They don't do the right safety protocols. It gets out in some way, winds up creating a lot more damage than they ever. I'd be like, we wanted to create damage if we needed it. We didn't necessarily want to sink everybody before we knew that we needed to. Was it accidental or did they release it on purpose? And even if it's accidental, did they then use it to the advantage of, we're going to limit travel from the Wuhan province to the rest of China. So people in Wuhan, they can't travel to Beijing and Shanghai, and we're limiting their travel, but they can travel internationally. They can leave the country. We're China. We don't care about anybody else. We've always had that mentality. 1/5 of the world lives here. Why should we give a shit about anybody else's feelings? Unless you're Han Chinese, we don't really care about you. Why not release it to the rest of the globe? If we're going down, I think Andrew Sullivan wrote, if we're going down, we're taking everybody else with us. And that's what they've pretty much done. Even a country that you might think, well, you know, China and Brazil, they have good relations. They have touch-and-go relations. When we started to have our tariff disputes, they showed all those, and you heard it over and over again, like, the tariffs are terrible, they're killing our economy. And I'm like, well, okay, how? The soybean farmers, it's killing the soybean farmers. I'm like, I've heard more about fucking soybean farmers in the last year than I have my lifetime. I've never fucking heard about the plight of the hardworking soybean farmer. But because you had these silos of soybeans that were rotting away and they couldn't do anything with them, then China decides to go get their soybeans from Brazil. Some people are saying that led to the deforestation of the rainforest, where for a long time you have these huge fires in Brazil. Amazon rainforest is something like, 1/5 of the world's oxygen supply or whatever comes out of that one little corridor. So it's kind of an important thing. You don't want to lose one of the most oxygen-rich areas on the planet. You don't want to lose that. Bolsonaro, called the Trump of the tropics. He's another idiot, basically, that came to power by throwing a woman to the side. At that time, it was almost like a coup because the president of Brazil that was elected, she was tossed over and impeached. Similar dynamic to how Trump stepped over Hillary to become president. But basically, he's able to say, hey, we want to give you soybeans if America won't. So then they start buying more and more commodities from Brazil. He's able to then clear more and more of a path of deforestation. Somehow they say it's related to the trade wars. I don't know. That seems a little abstract, but it may be. I think Bolsonaro probably more directly was thinking like, hey, if the Amazon burns, we can put condos here, or we can sell land. We can just build whatever we want in these big burnt patches. I think that may be more what he was thinking about. But, you know, the trade relationship between China and Brazil is very touch and go. Like, for 1 minute, they'll be close allies. The next minute, they're saying, no, we need to keep, you know, Brazil needs to be independent. We don't need to be China's bitch, basically. Like, we've already had our experience with colonialism and we're not eager to do it again. And of course, China's spreading all over the globe. They're doing in Africa right now with British and the French and the Belgians. They're just doing the same thing, basically, that countries have always done to Africa, which is come in, take the resources, take the money, and then take advantage of it. And Trump doesn't seem eager to stop this. He drives a wedge between, for example, Ethiopia and the United States. He said, we're going to start backing Kenya more and more and more. And of course, Obama and other presidents, they'd say, well, Kenya and Ethiopia, they're both good allies. We need to keep them both. We'll fund them both. We'll give them billions of dollars for anti-terrorism. Trump's content to lose every single ally that we have. Of course, when he does that and he pisses off a country like Ethiopia, they become closer and closer to China, which is perhaps what the real goal is. One of the most unreported stories, I think, is that China basically is backing Trump. And people say, no, you mean the Russians. I mean the same thing. Russia and China, they're such close allies. They're in cahoots on almost everything. If one of them's doing something, it's unlikely that they're not both doing something. People say, well, the Russians, you know, they're racist and they have a thing about the Chinese. Like, they're afraid of them. And, you know, yeah, but the Russians are afraid of everybody. They're extremely nationalistic. And so is China. Their partnership's always going to be limited by the fact that these are two extremely ethnocentric, nationalistic, paranoid countries that are brothers in communism, but in a lot of ways very different. Does it make sense that Russia has kept this thing up with China for as long as they have? I mean, Russia should have joined Europe and the United States, basically the Western world, if you want to put it that way. I mean, they could easily fit into that block, but they're just so stubborn, and it's almost like a rebellious child that doesn't want to join the natural progression of where they should be. At the same time, Putin and the hardline communists stay communists, but they're really closer to fascism. But Putin and all these oligarchs, you know, do they really like China? No. Do they really trust them? Of course not. But they're allies with them on almost everything. Of course, Russia's backing Trump, but so is China. And what I mean by that is you have Bolton's book, and I've been saying this for a long time, this idea of Trump being this strong man who's going to stand up to China and he's going to punch him in the nose. It's all bullshit. And in the last episode, I more specifically pointed out how most of the rhetoric about Trump is bullshit. Business acumen. Is he going to make you rich? Different things like that. But of course, this idea that he's the strong man, he's protecting you from China. We now hear from Bolton's book, he's actively asking China to help his reelection bid. He's like, if you buy crops, it'll help me be reelected. And he's calling Xi Jinping a fine man, a great man, a good leader, sucking up to him all the time, even in private, even when there's no reason to. He doesn't say like, oh, I hate that guy, he's so sneaky and shit. He's like, no, he's a great man, I love him. They're helping Trump become reelected and probably helped him get elected in the first place. Google Joe Biden, his campaign emails is Gmail. And they said China's tried to hack that literally hundreds of times. They've tried to hack it over and over and over. They can't get in, but they want to do to him and his campaign what they did to Podesta and Hillary. Right now, there's a debate about Joe Biden. He's not doing the right thing by hiding. He needs to get out there and campaign. Wrong. Joe Biden's doing the exact right thing. Like him in a bunker, hiding, his popularity's gone up and up and up. Since he's disappeared, and the less he does, the more his popularity goes up. So he's kind of understanding the logic that people get sick of you. They run for president for 2 years, and people really get tired of you by the time that they actually vote. Keeping in the bunker, doing occasional media appearances, doing some things directly to Zoom, not doing big rallies, things like that. There's obviously a reason to be that way because of coronavirus and social distancing and fear of infecting people, which Trump doesn't have any of that. He just wants a big rally where he can bloviate and get charged up on the crowd and things like that. But there's reasons to do what Biden is doing for public health, and it also shows like, hey, he cares about us. Convention is going to be in Wisconsin, but he's not saying like, oh, the governor, you know, Trump, like we talked about last week, he's telling the governor of North Carolina that he's got to have a big convention in because they won't let him. Now they're going to have it in supposedly Florida. Florida doesn't have enough problems. That's just what they need, you know, is another huge outbreak of coronavirus going on down there. Gee, what could go wrong? I mean, Florida's already handled coronavirus so well. Biden's not doing any of that. He's like, you know, we're going to have a smaller convention if the governor feels is appropriate. We don't need to have a shitload of people here. I'm not trying to get sick either. Hell, he's fucking nearly 80 years old. He's not trying to get sick. It's such an analog concept to treat it like rock stars and rallies and concerts when there's no reason to. There's cameras, there's Zoom, could be broadcast everywhere. Every aspect of the convention is going to be on CNN and YouTube anyway. So it's almost like, what is the point of asking people to come from Chicago and all over America and pack a convention that you don't need to? People respect that he's putting people's lives above his own selfish needs of having a huge convention. And probably anybody but Trump would be behaving in this way because it's so asinine not to. But the contrast between he cares about our safety and our health, and Trump obviously doesn't. That's a huge contrast. But it's also the fact of the strategy is working. He's up in the polls by laying low, by hiding and disappearing. Trump is the incumbent. Trump is trying to run against Biden as though he's the incumbent. He's like, Biden's establishment. It's like, you're the president of the United States. Biden's deep state. You're the president of the United States. The president can't be anti-establishment and anti-incumbent. He is the fucking incumbent. So the strategy he's using is the same one as Hillary. It's the same playbook. Instead of crooked Hillary, he's now calling him corrupt Joe. I mean, it literally is like copy and paste. He just whited out some of the name of the person he's running against and then put Joe where Hillary was. But it's the exact same playbook. It doesn't work because at the time he's running against Hillary, he's essentially running against a third Obama term and 12 years of Democratic presidents, which historically, as I've said many, many times, it's hard to have 12 years of Democratic presidents. But against Biden, it's like he's the incumbent. So his whole strategy is ridiculous. And the only time that Biden really gets dinged is when he's interviewed. And when he goes out, the more out there and exposed he is, talking to damn Charlemagne the God of all people in the Breakfast Club can almost sink his candidacy. And so it's a little ridiculous that it's almost like, hey, every time I do an interview, the media twists it out of proportion. They go over every little line I say. Why not disappear? It's almost better for me if I do. You can respect that strategy because it is working. I do think that Biden is smart to lay low and hide in the bunker, whereas Trump wants bigger and bigger rallies. And that's why, like, they're becoming increasingly desperate to find anything. Trump goes, and Bolton had a point when he said that the Democrats focused too much on the Ukraine. They exclusively focused on the Ukraine. And the problem was because it was Hunter Biden, it made it look a little partisan. It made it look like they're protecting Joe Biden. It's a partisan smear against Trump. Now, I'm going to be honest, I don't think nothing that they could have done would have made a difference. I think there's no way the Republicans were going to vote to impeach Trump. Mitt Romney was the only vote they got on one article of impeachment, and they needed 17 votes or something like that from Republicans. They were never going to get that many. In the Senate, it can't just be impeached by a majority. It has to be two-thirds. They would have been lucky to get 51 on anything, but to get two-thirds would have been impossible. I don't think it would have made a difference. You could have probably had a sex tape between Trump and Xi Jinping, and I don't think it would have made a difference. I mean, you literally have had so many people say similar things. I mean, what's John Bolton going to say? I saw Trump sign over the nuclear codes of America's military to Xi Jinping. Fake news, and it wouldn't have made a difference. I mean, we've had a lot of ex-staffers come out and say Trump's not fit to lead, he's corrupt, he's in the back pocket of tyrants. It's made no difference whatsoever. So I think it's very lofty to think, well, if Bolton, if only he would have testified, and if only he wouldn't have been trying to make money off this book, it wouldn't have made a difference. And he knew that probably, and that's why he's now written a book, and he's going for the only way he can hit Trump, which is to release it in the summer before the presidential race. You've got more and more stories about he's begging China for favors. He's on these calls with China, also asking them to find blackmail on Joe Biden. So the idea of he's going to his so-called chief enemy that we're having a trade war with, that he's going to stand up to, that he's going to bring jobs back for, and asking them for dirt on political opponents, and also to buy more American products to bolster the economy and his re-election prospects, it's all horseshit. China is content to hack Joe Biden's campaign. They've tried many, many times. Twitter just kicked off more than 100,000 Chinese bots off of Twitter that were amplifying pro-Trump stories and killing pro-Joe Biden stories and arguing with people. So if you're having any disagreements with people on Quora, on Twitter, on social media, could be a bot. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying don't put too much effort into this. But the real story, not so much Trump and China, although I do think it's worth talking about because that's America's chief antagonist, becoming increasingly scared of them, but Trump and Russia. And that's always been the big conspiracy, is that Russia helped him get elected, which they did. Now he's going after it being like Obamagate, and why did they tap my phones? They should have. What does the FBI do? The FBI looks at traitors to America, espionage, because the FBI inside America, they deal with counter-espionage, not the CIA. The FBI is the one who has to keep track of the spies of China and Russia and Iran and different countries once they're inside the United States. It's the FBI's job to look into that type of thing. Also, white-collar crooks, which Trump is, as I've pointed out many, many times, ran a Ponzi scheme as he's running for president. He's been sued by almost everybody he's ever worked with. He has mob ties, on and on. Good pals with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, the FBI's job is to look at sex trafficking and white-collar crime, money laundering, and all these things that Trump's been accused of. An American businessman who has to go to Moscow to raise money because no American banks will. And they may be using him to launder money into the United States through real estate, which is the preferred way for Russians to launder their money into America. So yes, the FBI should have been looking at Trump. Like, it would have been negligence not to look at him and not to investigate him. Literally everything they do, white-collar crime, sex trafficking rings, treason, spies, he fits all of them. The only thing Trump's not so far that I know is a serial killer, which they also look at that. 4 out of 5 are the things that they look at and deal with. So it would have been negligent not to look at him. But because he's such a bully, he's able to convince it that James Comey is in the bag for Hillary unless Comey comes out and releases this bullshit about Hillary's emails right before the race. Hillary and her people are convinced that this is what tanked her chances. They're convinced that this is what flipped several key states in the wrong way. Maybe they're right. I mean, they have the best polling around. I mean, they're able to tell that they're doing quite well in these three Midwestern states before Comey does that. And it's just the little bit of the push that Trump needs, especially as it's about a month or two after the sex tape. So that's kind of dying down. And then it's a new big thing coming out that's able to really kind of push it over the edge. And I can remember, I'll give my podcast co-host Michael credit, because I remember about a week before the election, he was able to say that he was worried about some of these numbers. And I guess I kind of underplayed it, and to the extent I don't know if I so much thought it was impossible for Trump to win as I wanted that to be true. So there could have been more denial than getting it wrong necessarily, like more self-deception than anything, where I just like, no, there's no way Hillary's going to lose. I think I might have wanted that to be true more than it was, but he was saying that there was a lot of discouraging things and he's getting more and more worried. So he's watching like CNN and cable networks that are covering this Comey thing 24/7. I mean, wall to wall, that's all they're talking about. I want to be very clear that in the modern conspiracy times, China's backing Trump, Russia's backing Trump, and the media's backing Trump. Trump got more press coverage in 2016 than any other candidate. You even remember there was a recording of Hillary and Chris Matthews, and they're kind of shooting the shit. Like, I think they talked about the Downton Abbey series finale. They're just sort of shooting the breeze or whatever. But Hillary tells Chris, she goes, "You guys sure love putting Trump on. You talk to him all the time. You guys are giving him a huge bullhorn and a huge platform." Even back then, Hillary's instincts are not to say, "Oh, good, Donald Trump's going to be the nominee and I'll be able to wipe the floor with him." Her instincts are to basically be like, "Stop putting him on. Stop giving him such a platform." She goes, "He is a dark and dangerous presence." I believe those were her exact words. Something very close to that was her exact words. So she knew that he was a very dark and dangerous presence. If he was elected, it would be very bad for the United States. And it seemed at that time she thought it was at least possible that he could be. So it was interesting that in that recording, she's not being like, "Hey, keep doing what you're doing, because I don't want to run against Kasich. Worry about a candidate that you would think would be better." She's particularly worried about Trump, which is interesting. So maybe within her campaign, maybe they didn't want to run against Trump. Maybe that wasn't the one that we all thought that he would be the best person for her to face, and maybe he wasn't. The media gives Trump all this airtime, and they seem to still be helping him covertly by giving him a shitload of airtime. And it seems like they're hitting him all the time. He's had feuds with just about every single journalist that you could think of. I mean, there's very few reporters that he has a good relationship with. He seems to think the media is supposed to give the president favorable press coverage. Where the fuck has he been? Like, where is he getting this from, that the media's job is to give him favorable press coverage? I'm like, have you not seen what they do? Like, I mean, really, they twist everything. Celebrities, rock stars, politicians. I mean, you can't be that powerful. I just don't know where he's getting that from. The media is there to help politicians look better. Has that been anyone's case that they've seen that happen before? And of course, he says, "Well, they were in the bag for Obama." Not really. I mean, people say that a lot, that they were just fawning over Obama and sucking his nuts all the time. Obama never gave him any ammunition. It would be like a tabloid reporter who's been hired to follow Brad Pitt around, and they've got to catch him doing something looking goofy or a dumb looking picture, like he's eating a corn dog or something, like he looks like an idiot, and they can't get one because he's just too cool. Chris Rock made that comparison where he said, been around a long time, he's never heard a Brad Pitt joke. He goes, "Obama's too cool to clown and make fun of. It's like Brad Pitt. You never heard a Brad Pitt joke. He left that one white girl for an even more badass white girl. He's in New Orleans building houses for the homeless. Sucker. Too difficult to make some people look foolish." And that was their problem with Obama, is that it was just too, you know, how do you make a jazz musician who's got the soul of a poet and speaks in a certain way and Neil deGrasse Tyson's intellect? I mean, how do you make somebody that smart and well-spoken and cool look like an idiot? It's difficult. But with Trump, it's really easy. And they like to have him as their foil because it's so easy to punch down to his level, and it's so easy to make him look like a fool. And it's a perfect fool for them. And I've said this before, he's always in feuds and fights with them, and that makes them look very important. It makes them look like they're being investigative journalists just by covering his tweets. And of course, for all much as the media talks about Trump, there's a shitload of stories that they don't cover at all and that also are out there and important. But it's like, if they're talking about his attempts to basically defund healthcare, get rid of the Obamacare statutes, or move all these troops out of Germany, if they really begin to start talking about that, all he's got to do is tweet out some support for a white power movement, and they'll focus exclusively on that for 4 or 5 days. Like, they won't talk about anything else. And then they'll say, "I didn't mean what you thought I meant. It was an accident." Those arguments, they don't serve a purpose, because people like me, they already know Trump is a racist. We don't need any further evidence. We've known that. The man's been racist his whole life. His father, Fred Chomp, was in the Ku Klux Klan. That's another conspiracy theory since we're on the topic and it's kind of the theme. We know that he is a bigot. Like, we don't really need further evidence to this. But yet, when he can go out there and say, I didn't hear the white power in the beginning of the video and all this, and then the people who already think Trump's a racist can say, yes, you did. And the people who don't think he is, or maybe they are themselves and don't care, they can say, no, he didn't know about that. And so you have the same two sides arguing over and over and over again. Trump is once again able to divide the United States. He's once again able to pit people against each other. This is why Russia wants him to be president. All they want is for America to tear itself apart. America is so strong militarily. China and Russia put together probably couldn't take us militarily. The only way we could really fall, great empires and nations are not killed. They commit suicide. Usually it's too much abroad, too little at home, or the population is infighting, or there's a civil war. It's almost constant that you see great empires collapse due to that. Foreign powers, they may use internal divisions to stir the shit and divide people, and Trump is a perfect master at that. His whole playbook is about division and winning by as small a margin as possible, not even attempting to appeal to a broad... From the inauguration day, didn't even attempt to appeal to a broad swath of America, hasn't even pretended to care about a broad swath of America. What better president could a foreign enemy have of the United States than that? If they know they couldn't beat us in a straight-up fight, or they're also worried about the fact Russia's economically vulnerable. If the price of oil collapses as it has, Russia's economy sinks. Their economy's tanked this year. So if it gets a lot worse, could they have rioting in the streets? Could they have a coup? Possible, certainly possible. Even Xi Jinping, which they say China's 10 times more stable than Russia is, they're begging for foreign investment from Europe and the United States, the same countries that they then want to use our money to fund basically a global coup against us. Literally like the old quote of, the capitalist will sell you the noose to hang himself with. And that seems to be what they think we're able to do. And that seems to be what they think of Trump, certainly, which is true in his part. But even if he's not an enemy agent, he does such a good job for them, he might as well be. Whether he's an active agent or an unwitting fool, what do they call it? A useful idiot. So whether he's an active agent or a useful idiot, there's really no difference at this point because he's just too good at helping them and their propaganda succeed. There was a movie that Nick Nolte was in. It was based on I believe it was a Kurt Vonnegut novel where he was an American in Germany, but he was sort of deep cover for the CIA. But it was during World War II, and his whole job was to promote the Nazis and talk about how they're doing a great job. But the Nazis, he would win them over, but he's secretly working for the CIA, John Goodman's agent or whatever. Like, he was a tool of theirs. And then towards the end, there was a German officer that always had his suspicions about him. They were talking, and he said, well, eventually, I didn't care who you were working for, because you did a better job for us, that it almost didn't even make a difference. So I believe that's how the Russians view Trump. Even if he's not an active agent, it doesn't even matter, because they're so closely aligned on so many things, and he so actively divides the United States and could easily sink this country into a civil war. We've never had a president refuse to give up power. We've also never had an incumbent president already talking about the election could be fraudulent. We never had that happen before. So it's to the point of, if he loses, which I believe he will, what happens when he doesn't want to leave and he doesn't want to step down and he says the whole thing was rigged and he cancels the election? Then you have something you've really never seen in the United States before, and that is going to kill the economy. That kind of instability, and it's going to help our enemies. And that's probably why they're bulking up their propaganda apparatuses. Twitter kicked off 100,000 Chinese bots, as I said. Why were there that many? And that's probably 10% of the ones they've even detected. I mean, for every one they catch, there's 10 they don't. So why are these big propaganda apparatuses all over social media, fanning the flames of bullshit and spreading stuff? Why have Facebook employees threatened to walk out on Mark Zuckerberg if he doesn't do more to combat the scourge of fake news? They know that they're ready. They're setting up apparatuses and things like that and certain speakers that they can then promote so that when the shit really hits the fan, get your guns, take to the streets, kill as many people as you can. And that may be the message. And that's a scary thing. When we talk about Conspiracy Incorporated, people will be like, I can't believe that we're so many minutes into this podcast episode and you haven't mentioned Alex Jones. Alex Jones is someone that promotes a lot of insane conspiracy theories. The thing about Sandy Hook being an inside job for the Obama administration, I don't see how anybody could believe that. Well, I can, because I'm hearing all kind of horse shit. So out of the right wing, I mentioned the conspiracies that maybe I spent too much time with the conspiracy theories I kind of do believe in, because there's a lot of them I don't. For example, right now, my parents went to the beach a few weeks ago, and they, you know, Gulf Shores, Alabama's beach, and they were like, well, the beach has just reopened. There's not going to be anybody there. Wrong. They they get down there, several hundred thousand people are clogging the beach at Gulf Shores. And when they're down there, nobody's wearing a face mask, nobody socially distances, not a hand sanitizer in sight. This is truly Trump country. You could see the RNC doing the convention in Alabama because he could do everything he wanted to here. He could kill somebody here and they let him probably. They're down there because my mom's wearing a face mask and my dad is too. Like, but somebody came up to my mom's like, are you sick? And she's like, yes, I am. You know, she's lying or whatever, because it's like if people give her a wide berth, it may be the only way she didn't get coronavirus. This is how political everything is and how bad Trump divides us. Just wearing a political mask, they thought she's making a statement. Like, they're looking at her like she's Colin Kaepernick or something like that. Like, she's stirring the shit or trying to side a ride or whatever. And I remember my mom and dad said they went to a restaurant and there was standing room only. And all these people and everything, it was so crowded and packed out there. One of the only people wearing a face mask. And this man came up and said, now, you know that coronavirus is a hoax, don't you? And she said, what? And he said, oh, yeah, coronavirus is a hoax. She's like, no, it's, I promise you it's not a hoax. I know people who have died from it. And he's like, no, that coronavirus is a hoax. Because if it's not, how come when those protests started, it all just went away? And then she's like, well, it didn't go away. The way he said it was like a mic drop moment. Like, he had this smug look on his face, like, I rest my case. Mic drop. This was a few weeks ago before the spike has started back up. So now that guy probably looks like an idiot. Because between the reopenings, which the Trump people were wanting, another, since we're on the topic of conspiracies that are being bought and paid for, there are now what I call AstroTurf conspiracies. Where before you have the what's called AstroTurf movements, and that they look like grassroots movements, but they're really not. It's from the Koch brothers is funding the Tea Party and organizing it. It's all top down. Well, now we have that for conspiracy theories, where it's being spread everywhere that coronavirus is a hoax. It's not real. It's a plot by the Chinese to kill our economy. We got to reopen the country as fast as possible. If they can get a black person to be in those videos, even better. If there's ever a black guy in one of those videos, then it goes viral. It's millions and millions of people because it's like, here's a guy that gets it. I guess it makes it a little more credible. People are so programmed to believe that black people are liberals and not conservatives that if it's like, well, a black guy said this, you have to believe it. And usually it'll be somebody that clearly doesn't know what they're talking about. This is being really clearly spread by business interests that want to reopen the country because they're losing a shitload of money. Now, of course, what those idiots don't understand, because again, the business community, they only think a quarter at a time. It's a quarter at a time. This quarter's profits, this week's stock market returns. What they didn't understand was if you reopen the country too quickly, and there's a second wave of the virus that spreads before they really get it under control, then you have a second and longer shutdown, and that's really going to kill your business. Because these videos are being spread by people that are very wealthy, if you have $1 million to spend, why not do it? Why not make a video and put it on Facebook and then pay to promote it? For all my stuff, they tell me constantly, like, oh, you want your tweets to reach more people or your Facebook posts to reach more people, pay money. Pay $30 and this post will reach 1,000 people or whatever. So they view it as a good way to make stuff go viral. The more it goes viral, again, people are having, they're still not able to distinguish between TV commercials and viral Facebook posts. And the viral Facebook post more legitimate to them. It's a little bit like, you know, oh, well, the DNC's establishment and these progressive groups, they're grassroots. And so like they're more legitimate. It's a little bit that way for advertising, in that a TV commercial from Lando Lakes being like, hey, now all the TV commercials, they're all so fake, but they're basically being like, hey, we know times are tough out there. We just want to know we care about you. It's a little phony. It's like the dread dealer coming around being like, hey, it's so great that you're clean and sober, but you know, if you need anything, you can call me, right? Like, you know that they're going to call them at their worst possible moment. So to see these companies pretend to give a shit about people because they're like, oh, our customers are dying and or so broke they can't spend any money. We need to show them that we care about them. Now all these TV commercials, they're all done through Zoom and Skype. And I kind of hate it. I'm kind of like, it's almost normalizing how crazy this is. It's making it seem like it's going to be forever. Like we're never going to get out of this stage of doing everything through Zoom and Skype. Those commercials, though, they look more fake because they're produced and polished and directed and written. And the viral videos, which also are, they're just as choreographed. They're just as like that. They look more legitimate and real. It's like, here's one man's opinion. And they don't see like where that opinion comes from. Was that written by a think tank that's owned by the Koch brothers? Was the Heritage Group or Americans for Prosperity? Were they writing the script for that and then gave it to them? So we don't know all that. But people seem to think that things that are poorly produced are more legitimate out of 2 decades of watching YouTube videos, I guess. And that's why probably why all these big time commercials are starting to do everything through Skype now and been like Microsoft can spend some fucking money and make a real commercial, but everything's going now through webcams and things like that. And I mean, I think that probably their focus group didn't thought, oh, it looks more authentic. It looks more like real people are using this stuff if it's not so polished and well-produced, because that's certainly the case for the viral videos that are getting promoted. But yeah, you hear from the right wing, Pizzagate. Now Pizzagate's back and somehow it's got Justin Bieber in it. This is crazy. You have Obamagate, which is that Obama and the FBI have a vendetta against Trump. One thing I always want Trump to tell me is, if he's not a traitor and he's not an enemy to America, why does the deep state hate him? The deep state's job is to protect America from enemy agents. The deep state of the CIA, the FBI, the intelligence agencies, the national security apparatus. Some people say, well, no, they hate Bernie Sanders because he wants to cut their budget. Trump doesn't want to cut their budget. Trump has not cut their budget. If anything, he's given them more money to play around with. So if he's paying them more money and he hasn't cut their budget and he hasn't truly cut their power in a lot of fields, why do they hate him so much if he's not an active enemy agent and they know it? They've never been able to explain that to me. I'm also not sure how Trump wouldn't be part of a deep state if such a thing existed. If you ever watch these documentaries about Jeffrey Epstein and about all the different ways, and I mean, he's everywhere now. There's a Netflix documentary. He was in the season finale of The Good Fight, where they explained all the ways he was able to get out of serving jail time or being prosecuted or ever going to prison, and they would let him out and then he would rape more people, and it would just be so absurd and ridiculous that he's able to get away with this for so long. And they basically explained that he had a lot of very rich and powerful friends, including Donald Trump, and that they shared a lot of the same taste in women. Not just Trump, but now the Alexander Acosta and Bill Barr and different people that have been roped into Trump world, a lot of these same people. So it's like Trump knows all these people. He gives money to the Clintons. You think, well, who's more powerful, Bill and Hillary Clinton or the people that are able to give them money? Wouldn't it be who's ever funding them? Wouldn't they have more power than they would? And so this idea that Trump, he's just a good, honest businessman, he's Mr. Smith goes to Washington standing up for the little guy and shit like that, is so goddamn absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous to say that if there is a deep state, he's not part of it, after seeing how he's helped Jeffrey Epstein for decades and how connected he is to all these sleazy fucking people. Just about every sleazy person or white collar crook or international sex traffic operator, Russian oligarchs, Russian mafia, he's connected to them in some way. It would be absurd to think he wouldn't be even better connected than a lot of the politicians we think of as the deep state, probably more so. These people are mostly civil servants. People inside the CIA and the FBI, they make a pretty paltry wage. They're civil servants. They serve at the pleasure for people like Trump, who pull all the strings. So that argument has never really made sense to me. But according to Trumpers, Obama's out to get him and wiretapping his phones and shit like that. Pizzagate, the coronavirus is a hoax. Hydrochloroquine can kill the virus, even though they think it may cause liver damage and it's probably more toxic than anything else. I thought only Trump could turn a pandemic into an infomercial. Only Trump could do that. Trump now spreads the conspiracy theory that Fox News is secretly run by liberals, and that's why it's got him losing all these polls. Couldn't possibly be that he's truly and genuinely unpopular. He's losing all these polls because Fox News is in the bag for the Democrats. Yeah, you know, Fox News, that bastion of liberalism. I mean, my God, like almost every conservative in the country has worked for Fox News as a pundit or as a reporter or even behind the scenes before they made it big. They routinely have people float between the RNC and Fox News, back and forth, behind the scenes doing stuff. The Bush White House, they said they would get their talking points from Fox News and vice versa. They had fax lines directly going to them. They're in the bag for the Democrats. They don't want to help my reelection. They're the only people who want him to be reelected. Although I will say this, if anybody who works at Fox News is listening to this podcast, which I'm sure they're not, but if they were, I think you guys should let Trump lose. I think you should try to help Joe Biden win, because your ratings will go up. People are tired of watching Trump on TV. The liberal TV stations, their ratings will sink. MSNBC and CNN, I'm sure they'll collapse to a certain extent with Joe Biden, where the country doesn't mostly hate him. But Republicans do better when there's a Democrat in the White House, because then they get to do, you know, the whole obstruction thing and being obstinate and standing in the way of progress and being against this and that. Sean Hannity, he's boring. He goes on there and he chats with his buddy Trump for an hour, and nobody takes it seriously. Like, they're thinking they can play up these protests and all these social movements and make them look bad enough that, oh, they're so scary, we got to have Trump stay in there. People are not really buying it so far, only because it's ridiculous to claim that you have no... You are the president. You have power. To act like you're at the hostage of Twitter or some liberal mob, five people taking down a Confederate statue, the country's going up in flames, we got to have Trump. You're the president. You're in charge of the military. Like, you have way more organs of power. So people don't buy it. It's a little bogus. If Biden is president, then they get to come out strong and proud and create the new version of the Tea Party in a couple months or something like that, and scare the hell out of people and talk about the socialists are coming for your guns and your Confederate statues and your Gone with the Wind and your decorative NASCAR poster. They're coming for all of it. They're going to take every goddamn thing that you love and cherish about this country, and they're going to ruin it. I hope you like gluten-free apple pie. It sucks. Doesn't taste good. That's what's going to happen. They will do better if he's out of the office, because they'll be able to scare the hell out of people again. And that may be why you see them having more polls that are favorable favorable for Biden, or at least accepting the reality that it now seems more likely than not Biden will win, whereas liberals don't seem to quite be on that page. And I'm talking specifically about Stephen Colbert. He had John Bolton on his show, just went out of his way to be an asshole to him. I mean, really just kind of went out of his way to be a jerk. And you're thinking, like, I get that John Bolton, we don't agree about a lot. War with Iran would be the stupidest thing we could ever do. I don't agree with him on the most policy decisions, but he's there to promote a book talking about Trump not being a fit commander-in-chief. It would behoove us to perhaps not try to discredit him or make him look bad. Colbert's like, well, you had to know who Trump really was. Why did you go work for him? Probably because John Bolton was totally irrelevant. Trump is partially right when he calls him a laughingstock wash-up who was just puttering around Fox News and things like that, because, I mean, he really wasn't doing a lot before Trump pulled him out of obscurity to come work for him. You wouldn't think you'd really need an explanation for that. A couple nights later, he basically got John Stewart to be like, Joe Biden just wasn't my guy. It was so half-hearted. It was such a half-hearted, lackadaisical, lackluster endorsement of Joe Biden. And these two rich, multimillionaire liberals from The Daily Show are shitting on America's best hope of defeating a fascist tyrant. And you almost look at it and think, what the fuck's wrong with you? And then you remember, like, oh yeah, Colbert, he's the one that went, Trump came on in 2016 and Colbert blew him kisses the whole fucking time. Colbert didn't hit Trump half as hard as he's now hitting the people who were going against Trump and having them on. Never Trump Republicans are routinely getting roasted if they've ever worked for Trump. John Stewart's getting asked if he cares about him. John Stewart's getting prompted into saying he doesn't like Joe Biden that much. It just all looks very weird for a guy who supposedly, and you think, and that's because Colbert ain't gonna have a fucking act. If you've watched Colbert's show since Trump's taken office, it's all Trump. Him and Seth Meyers, it's all Trump all the time. Let me sit down and just tell you what Trump tweeted today and let me talk about how bad that is. I mean, it's a little bit like there's nothing bigger going on in the world. If you want a true conspiracy theory, look at how the media covers Trump's tweets. And then in the last couple weeks, Siberia hit 100 degree temperatures. Russia had an oil tanker bigger than Exxon Valdez gush oil all over the Arctic. These are big stories. China and India exchange gunfire. China and India troops got in a skirmish. Several Indian troops got killed by Chinese troops. So tensions are flaring up on that border. These are enormous stories. Have we heard anything about them on CNN or MSNBC? Are these stories anywhere on these so-called liberal networks that seem to just be so obsessed with, like, I can be an investigative journalist if only I talk about how a black guy got punched at the McDonald's by a worker who's a racist? I mean, this is not Woodward and Bernstein to cover Trump's tweets. By these bigger stories are going by unabated and unchecked. Biggest story that I've seen, and it actually did get some play, is that Russia put out a bounty in Afghanistan on American troops. So this is big. I'm kind of saving the best for last. They were able to basically bribe Taliban militia and connected groups to kill American soldiers, and were apparently paying bounties for everyone that they got killed. And that's why the number of troop deaths in Afghanistan has gone up. It's just because they want to fuck up America at any turn and every turn. It's partially payback for what they view as America's meddling in their Afghanistan war. Because when Reagan was president and they were in Afghanistan, we funded groups that eventually became Al-Qaeda and the Taliban against them. So they're probably like, hey, turnabout is fair play. 30 years later, let's do the same thing. And so basically, I do think that Putin's obsessive, compulsive mindset of revenge is everything, and just constantly focusing on things and never letting them go and dwelling and dwelling. And in his mind, he's the victim. In his mind, Russia was defeated by the imperialists and they've taken advantage of us, and that's why they prop up these phony people in Ukraine and they stripped the Soviet Union of its glory. And he's so bitter, compulsively bitter about what he sees as the West getting one over on him. You could easily see him greenlighting something like this, where they're killing troops in Afghanistan on his behalf or Russia's behalf. Final season of Homeland, people thought it was a stretch to have some of the Russian characters from the last season, because season 7, I believe, was set in Russia. It was all about Russia trying to dismantle the United States and our government. Some of those same characters showed back up in the final season. Now we see that that wasn't so far-fetched. Russia is in Afghanistan. They are meddling. They are doing constant things. That's a very scary story, but perhaps even scarier is that Trump and some people in his White House, they knew about it, and they did nothing about it. Now, of course, the conservatives, they're saying, Trump, he's such a bad liar, because he could have come out and been like, we knew about it, but we're working on it, we're doing stuff about it. We're covert, so we didn't want to talk about it because it's an active war zone. Also, coronavirus deaths, and we wanted people to know that we had our full attention on coronavirus. We didn't want to release anything that would cause panic in the public and make people freak out even more. Tensions between us and Russia, that could create even worse scenario in America when people are already paranoid from coronavirus. No, instead he comes out and says, I didn't know anything about it. I never met the guy, don't know him, didn't talk to him. Hey, who's this guy? Who's this stool pigeon talking to me like this? He has that mobster mentality. But no, Instead, he's acting like he didn't know about it at all and actively trying to get Russia back into the G7, back into the G8. It really makes no sense unless he's Putin's puppet. It's one more story. It's like, if he's not Putin's puppet, why do you have Michael Flynn and Roger Stone and all these different people going down around him for this Russia thing? Jeff Sessions recusing himself as attorney general because he couldn't be impartial, bringing in the Robert Mueller investigation, and Trump now hating Sessions so much for that. Why do all these things lead back to Russia, Russia, Russia? Why is it all about Russia? Unless there's some smoke there and some fire there. Why have they bailed out his companies over and over again? Why has Eric and Don said, hey, a disproportionate amount of money that we get comes from Russia? How can it all lead back to the same country? He has the Russian prime minister into the Oval Office. He talks to Putin only with a Russian translator there, not his own translator. He doesn't want anybody around when him and Putin are talking. It's very secretive. He would have to know coming into office about the allegations that they helped him get elected. And yet he's done absolutely nothing to make those look less credible or to cold water that idea or to make it look like, oh no, all this is in a liberal's mind. I mean, he's increased the flames. And now you have a story where they're actively killing American troops. And he's talking about getting them back into the G7 or G8. He's talking about increasing Moscow's ties. He's talking about pulling 20,000 troops out of Germany. He wants to basically get rid of the American military presence in Germany. Who will that help but Russia? They've begged America not to leave because Russia's going to come moving in and everything. So why does he do all these things that benefit Russia if he's not working on their behalf? I would encourage people to watch The Manchurian Candidate. The original black and white version is much closer to what's happening right now, and that the communists have so infiltrated American society, the powers that be that are supposedly anti-communist, they may now be working on their behalf. And there's a character that really reminds me of Trump, a senator who talks constantly about communism and how it's infiltrated as he's working on the communist's behalf. That could easily be Trump. The go-go capitalist who's Mr. Capitalist and Mr. Business and really has had to be bailed out over and over again by fascist communist countries. What better conspiracy theory could there be than that? And I didn't even have time to get to the idea that I think Melania Trump may be his Russian handler. Perhaps that's why Melania, their relationship makes no sense, is because she was put in his orbit by Putin to be his Russian handler. And so we could have a first lady who's a spy as well. But I didn't have time to get to that, or even McConnell, who we all think is Moscow Mitch. Lindsey Graham, who we call Lady G, may have some compromise. They believe that there's some incriminating sex tapes and documents on Lindsey Graham having an affair with men that they think would sink him in South Carolina. And so they think that that's part of the reason he's done such a flip-flop. If you really get into it, if Russia controls Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and a majority of the Republicans in the House and Senate, or at least the majority of the very influential ones, Rand Paul, they've also rumored that he's on their payroll. If they have at least three senators and the President of the United States, that's a bit of a coup of sorts. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for episode 72.